Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the program and a valued friend. And Brad joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Dallas Cowboys come to town, and we've been discussing whether or not the loss last night for the Vikings was a lifeline to the Bears, and I would imagine that the Cowboys feel like they were thrown a lifeline with Philadelphia losing to Miami. But I thought obviously the Vikings looked a hell of a lot better than the Philadelphia Eagles looked on Sunday, but. The fact of the matter is the Bears within striking distance, albeit 6-6, as are the Cowboys. Your take on the outside influences on this game?
Yeah, I think the Vikings lost last night, and that was a pretty good game out in Seattle. Keeps the slim hopes going for the Bears. If the Vikings won that game, the Bears would be three games back with four to play, not to mention the fact that the Rams are ahead of the Bears. The Rams right now are in between the Bears and the Vikings, so they've got to leapfrog them as well. Being three back with four to play leaves you very, very little chance. Now with two back with four to play, I think there's a glimmer of hope for the Bears, but I'd say that the Vikings schedule is a little bit easier. The Minnesota Vikings have three of their final four games home. We know the Bears have got a 2-2 split in that regard. The Vikings have the Lions up this week, so I think they've got a little bit easier schedule, but the way that the Bears have played this season, I think they're doing a good job of keeping the focus on it. It's just this week because they're not good enough to sit back and look big picture right now. They got to focus on getting a win this week and then worry about what's ahead of them after playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Brad, when you focus on Leonard Floyd's season, you look at three sacks and you think it's been disappointing, and I think the numbers reflect that. You wonder if he's played better than the numbers maybe indicate. Yesterday we found out he played through a rib injury against the Lions that he suffered early on, and Chuck Pagano went out of his way to let everybody know, and Matt Nagy seconded it, just how tough that he is and how hard that was for him to endure. What do you think? Did it change your perception of Leonard Floyd's reality?
No, because I think the first thing you have to do when you're sort of looking at Floyd and evaluating him is accept what he is. If you're evaluating him for what he isn't, which is a premier pass rusher, he's never going to look real good in your eyes. But he does something well for him in terms of run defense, setting in coverage. He's very difficult for opposing offenses because of a couple factors. One, he can move really well. Two, he's very tall. And three, he's extremely long. So you look at a quarterback trying to, you know, drop a pass over him or beyond him, and that's difficult to do. So while Leonard will never live up to the expectations created for him in the draft when he's a top 10 pick and they're looking to bring in a pass rusher. That doesn't mean that he's not a valuable guy on this defense. Now, the question after this season is going to be, how valuable is he, and what type of price tag do the Bears put on him? But I'll be the first to admit, I thought with Mac arriving a year ago that it would mean Leonard's sack production would really take off. And we've seen that happen with complimentary pass rushers who just, you know, by virtue of a superstar being on the other side of them, will really start racking up statistics. And that hasn't happened for Leonard. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a value for the defense. And he flashes at times. You go back to the opener against the Packers, and really, you look at every game that guy's played in his career against Green Bay, and he's been a monster against the Packers. But he flashes from time to time, and he's steady. Fact of the matter is, had he been the pass rusher that the Bears hoped he might be when they drafted him, they never would have had to make a trade for Khalil Mack to upgrade the defense.
So we look at this injury list, right? So Akeem, we know, is out and coming back. He spoke yesterday. We'll get to that. Prince Amukamara didn't practice with a hamstring. And obviously, you know, as Kevin's been saying, and then the usual suspects, Massey, Gabriel, Bronick are the people we knew. Who's back, who's out, and how much does Prince damage them if he can't play?
Yeah, I think that would be a bit of an issue for the Bears, because then you're talking about turning to probably Kevin Tolliver, and he hasn't played a whole lot. You're going to a guy without a lot of experience against a quarterback that might be able to challenge him a little bit. So hopefully we'll get a better idea of what Prince's status will be later on today. But that one just kind of popped up out of the blue, I thought. The other ones, yeah, none of that's unexpected, and I'd be surprised if Broniker, Gabriel, or Massey, or Trevathan also, were able to play on Thursday for the Bears. But the Amukamara thing, he's had a pretty good season. He's been very good in run support. He did have the, you know, ball he gambled for on Thanksgiving against the Lions that turned into a touchdown. But by and large, I think he's played pretty well on the right side of that defense for the Bears this season.
Brad, do you think the Bears...
The Cowboys have got a bunch of guys injured, too. They've got, what do they have, about 12 guys listed. A couple of them are full participation, but they're certainly dealing with many more injuries right now. Bears are.
Do you think the Bears can stop the run with the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, that's going to be... That's going to be the challenge, because Dallas isn't the type of offense that when the back is stopped three or four times, they stash the run away and they don't call it for another two quarters. They're going to keep leaning on it. And if there's one thing that's probably been a little bit concerning about the Bears defense this season, is teams haven't feared running the ball on them like they did a year ago. You know, they were so good against the run last season that they could get teams out of that in a hurry. And this year, teams have been able to have, you know, some success going against them. And you see some of the chunk runs, too. Not necessarily really long ones, but, you know, you'll see guys go for 8, 9, 10 yards, especially early in the game, too, and you're looking at that and you're saying, boy, I'm not used to seeing that happen. Now, they're not poor against the run right now by any stretch of the imagination. They're, I think, 7th in the league, giving up just under 100 yards a game. But, yeah, they're going to have to stop Elliott, because if he gets going, that ought to open up a lot of stuff in that Dallas offense.
He's Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune and a longtime contributor. We mentioned Hicks speaking on Monday. Did you hear anything that makes you believe that that he's coming back and that he's going to be able to do anything when he does? And what condition did he look in?
Well, Chuck Pagano basically said without reservation that he'll be playing against the Packers yesterday. So that's what the defensive coordinator's expectation is for Akeem. And, you know, where is he going to be in football shape? Was probably going to be a ways off from that. But they've had him around the building. He's been doing work. You wouldn't expect him to go out and play 50 of 65 snaps at Green Bay. But that's probably one of those things where you sort of get a feel for where he's at as you go. And maybe they can get, you know, 40-50% action out of him in the first game. It's tough in these practices because they're not doing any hitting. And they're actually at the time of the season, guys, where I don't believe they can hold practices in full pads anymore based on the collective bargaining agreement. In the final month of the season, those basically disappear. Usually teams get to run about one practice in pads per week through the first, it's about 13 weeks of the season, 12 or 13 weeks of the season. At this juncture, I don't even think they can practice in full pads, so he can't even simulate that. At House Hall as they're getting ready for the Cowboys.
Kind of out of left field, Brad, but okay, this is hiring season in college football. Mark Helfrich spoke yesterday. A year ago this time, he was mentioned and linked to the Colorado job and maybe some other openings where rumors existed. Do you think that's a move? Do you think that he inevitably will end up back in the college game? Or where does he fit in terms of, you know, in the coaching industry now? Because he's the offensive coordinator of the Bears, but that's kind of a name-only job.
Yeah, and I tried to pick his brain a little bit about differences between the NCAA and NFL and, you know, how he was enjoying the change and learning what the game was like at a different level, because prior to joining the Bears last year, he'd strictly been a college coach, and some guys get a taste of it and they want to go back right away. Some guys tire of recruiting and really enjoy being able to get away from that rat race, if you will, when they get to the. So Helfrich, you know, I don't know, because yeah, it's kind of a title only gig. He does have the same agent as the head coach, Matt Nagy. If the right job came along for him, maybe he would want to go back, because certainly those big college jobs, Power 5 jobs, are going to pay a lot more money if that's something he wants to do. But it was just, he's a really sharp guy. He's very intuitive, and he, you know, he wasn't going to tip his hand a year ago. So I couldn't say where he's at on that right now. It'll be interesting to see.
All righty, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
It.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He, of course, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. And we're going to hear what Cole Hamels, a couple of comments from Cole Hamels, talking about the possibility of moving to the White Sox.
it's a possibility. He's a free agent, and he definitely is motivated to.
And they're a team.
And well, he likes Chicago.
He sounds very open to it. I'm
well, don't tease it.
Oh, you sound excited, Kevin. There's excitement in your voice. I can hear it.
Kevin plays many roles on this show.
Also, John Heyman at 740.
150 stars. My coffee card. Son of a. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They're a team that are making some serious strides. I know I've always pitched against them the past couple of years, and you could see the young talent that they have, and now how they're actually learning the game and how they're playing well together. At first I think I was beating them a lot, and then I think the past couple seasons they really came out hard and they beat up on me. So it's good to see, and that's something I love. The city of Chicago, I had a blast. Being there for about a year and a half, it's one of my favorite cities to travel to, and to actually be there, in the summertime and for a season, I loved it. The fan base there from both sides, for both teams is absolutely amazing. So I think just to know that, you can actually make a difference, and just seeing that you can be on a team that's trying to really, go for those winning ways. That's all I really ask for. I just want the opportunity.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Wow.
That's Cole Hamels talking about the White Sox.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels, the Cubs pitcher.
That was on the White Sox podcast, NBC Sports Chicago. Interesting conversation. And
Chuck Garfine.
Yeah. Fine job getting him to open up. It doesn't sound like it was very difficult to get Cole Hamels to open up about his desire.
I love Chuck, by the way. Great
Chuck
job.
Does a great job covering the Sox.
And it's great to run into him occasionally out there and get a chance to talk to him. Good dude.
Cole Hamels made 27 starts last year. There were only three White Sox starters who started more than that. He'll be 36 years old later this month. Cautionary approach to free agency if you're the White Sox, but you don't like that idea? Are you?
I'm amused by the idea.
More amused?
I am amused. I can't.
What amuses you? His interest?
Yes. That's what amuses me. I wonder.
It's flattering, isn't it?
Well, I think he's being very flattering there. I think he's talking about. I think he's. I'd be very curious to see. I mean, listen, you could do a lot worse than Cole Hamels, but I would not mind to see him sign a contract that would be sort of based on availability, based on value that he brings.
I think that what you're saying is that you wish that Zach Wheeler would be just as flattering to the White Sox.
That would
you
be
prefer
great.
That.
Well, yeah. I mean, but
everybody
but
would.
Let me tell you something. They need two. Okay. If you really want to get better, get two. So Zach Wheeler could be one, and I would have no problem with Cole Hamels being the other one.
I believe that's a good approach, because if you add Cole Hamels and you pencil him in maybe to between 3 and 5 in your rotation, right? A 3-4 or a 5. That makes a lot more sense, and probably a lot more financial sense than it would if you're going to go after him and envision him to be a top of the rotation guy, which I don't think at this stage of his career he is. And the injury concerns last year that kept him from starting more. I mean, I was surprised to look good and see he did start 27 games.
Yes.
Because that's more than I remember him starting.
Right. And he was their best pitcher in the first half.
Had the oblique, came back,
yes.
Did not come back as well as you would have hoped.
Well, the oblique is a bad injury.
It is.
He'd had it before, and it's a real struggle when you get something like that.
And you worry about a pitcher at 36 years old, would he encounter other nagging injuries?
Who's the tougher guy? A guy playing with an oblique or a guy with a rib?
Leonard Floyd or Cole Hamels? Light him up. Who's tougher?
Who would you rather on the White Sox?
Who would you rather rush the passer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow, that was a shot.
That was maybe a little bit of a shot.
No, I mean, Cole Hamels had a great career. It's wonderful. I like that he likes Chicago. I like that he's open to joining the White Sox. And, yeah, he had a 2.98 ERA pre-All-Star break, 5.79 after.
Yeah, not good. Not a good way to finish the season.
No.
But you also like the way that he – the Sox find it important to get the clubhouse full of guys who are, you know,
yes,
good team guys, good organization
guys.
Good guys.
Yep.
And he certainly fits what they would be looking for. He would fit into their culture easily.
Again,
any culture, really.
You know, I'm making the Johnny Football money sign here. That's probably an old reference, but I'd be very curious to see how much.
What is the market for a Cole Hamels?
Well, I don't know that there's a heavy market for him. What would he be willing to pitch for on the South Side? That's the question. If he's a bargain, he was making $20 million with the Cubs, right? So
he's not going to make that.
Well, that's
in
my
one
point.
Season.
That's my point.
Maybe
unless you gave him an incentive-filled contract. I mean, they certainly have the money if they want to do it that way. But they're talking about, I mean, what's Zach Wheeler? 5 years at $120 million? Four years at $100 million?
Last week when we talked about the speculation surrounding Zach mm-hmm. Wheeler, it was a five-year deal around $105 million total. So that would be around $21 million per year. And that's what Steve Phillips went on Twitter, and he sort of ripped the idea of any team offering him more than $20 million per year, which led some people to believe, well, he's a Mets guy.
Right.
The Mets aren't offering that, so maybe the White Sox are. Maybe other teams will be. Zach Wheeler still is going to command in that range, somewhere between 18 and 22, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Cole Hamels is not going to be in that neighborhood. Not anymore. I don't think he's that kind of pitcher. Your priorities, if you're Rick Hahn, I think, you go after the Zach Wheelers first. You swing and miss at Garrett Cole if you can. You get in those conversations with the guys at the top of the heap, and then you reset,
you
refocus,
and
you double back.
Yeah.
Because if Cole Hamels is as interested as he sounds, and I think he probably is, then he'll still be there.
Do you think the White Sox would pay top dollar for Zach Wheeler? Do you think they'll outbid everyone for him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, again, there's no way of me knowing that because of I don't know. I'm not privy to what other teams are willing to spend.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me, do I have confidence that the White Sox are serious about going out and paying what it requires to get a top-of-the-rotation starter in free agency, I would think unequivocally yes, based on the rhetoric, based on their need, based on where their timeline is right now. Do you doubt?
No, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. I think it's a requirement. But I also think, you know, I think two pitchers for the Sox. And I mean it.
I agree. I'm not snickering. I'm like, you know what? That's exciting to think that if the Sox could get two bona fide starters and they add it to Grandal, they re-sign McCann and Abreu, and they get a right fielder.
Yeah.
That's a team that you can really seriously go into spring training and say, yeah, okay, I see what you're seeing here. 2020 makes a lot of sense now.
There's also talk that they have gone to Louis Robert and offered him the Aloy deal.
I really like that conversation.
I do too, because that way you get to start him immediately.
You don't waste any games.
Wait around until he, you know.
You're not worried about the tiresome service time discussion. Not worried about anything else except for winning from day one, which is what you should be worried about if you're the White Sox.
And in that division, I mean, it's very
That's another point.
It's very winnable. Minnesota, you know, has kind of been up and down. Good 1 year, bad 1 year. Good 1 year. You know, you can't really project them to win the division again. Cleveland is going the opposite direction. Kansas City and Detroit are way back in the rearview mirror at this point. I mean, they've added Grandal. Hopefully that is a statement of intent that they intend to,
yes,
you know, hit the gas pedal on this thing and maybe accelerate it a year or so earlier. And Mully, I agree with you. It has to be. I like Cole Hamels,
yeah,
as a back end of the rotation guy to make 25 starts for you, but it has to be Cole Hamels plus something else.
Yeah, it can't be just him.
No. He would not suffice as a singular. But if you got Wheeler done and then you double back with him, then I'm on board. That sounds great.
And Castellanos.
And go ahead. Don't stop. Don't stop now, boys.
Don't stop now, boys.
Kevin, do you believe now that Cincinnati is a better team than the Cubs? They went out and got Moustakas and gave him some big money.
Boy.
I mean, when you look at the Brewers are losing pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
They're losing a lot. They've lost a lot.
So how do you line up the NL Central?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about another division that, you know, is stronger at the top.
Yep.
You've got more competitive teams, but it is kind of a grab bag to see who can kind of take that next step up. I mean, with Cincinnati, with the rotation last year, Gray, Castillo... They've got arms.
They
signed Moustakas yesterday. They've already got Eugenio Suarez. They've got Derek Dietrich. They got hitters. Votto, of course.
Who's the pitcher they traded for? Come on. During the season, they traded,
Trevor Bauer.
Bauer.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good, isn't it?
It's very good.
That's a good rotation. That's a good team. Right now, before free agency, before the trades, they might be ahead of the Cubs. Yeah.
Cubs got to do something. What are they going to do?
Yeah, they got to do something.
They've been weirdly quiet, I think. I mean, you haven't even heard the Cubs really connected to anybody that they're going to go out. And they, I mean, they were a third-place team last year. They got holes. They got to be better. They haven't done anything yet.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. @ John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a pleasure to talk to John Heyman. He joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, John.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're really having fun because there's a lot going on in this fine baseball world. And good to see the White Sox go out and get Grandal. And now they bring McCann back. And hopefully that's an attractive combination to have behind the plate because we need pitching. And they're... looking at Zach Wheeler, we had Cole Hamels talking to NBC Sports Chicago about the White Sox sounding like a guy that loved to stay in Chicago, maybe switch teams. So, all in all, if the Sox can get some pitching here, I think things are looking very good for the Southsiders.
Absolutely, and their timing is excellent. This is one of the best free agent markets we've ever seen for starting pitching, let's say, forgetting Cole and Strasburg for a second. I mean, they're long shots for most teams. Probably, Strasburg maybe back to the Mets, and you've got Cole with the Angels and the Yankees bidding it up and many other teams. But there are a lot of good starting pitchers that are available. Bumgarner, Keuchel, Wheeler, many, many others. And their timing is excellent. And, I think the future looks good for the White Sox. I know we've been talking about this for a few years now, but, Ken Rosenthal and I were asked on MLB Network who has the better roster right now, the Cubs or the White Sox. And, maybe I was cheating a little bit, but considering the full roster of players and Luis Robert and all the minor leaguers, I wouldn't hesitate and say the White Sox. They have a lot of talent right now. They do need pitching, though.
I like that idea, John, and that was a fascinating discussion you and Ken had. I really enjoyed that. And I found myself almost like parsing and breaking that into almost like the next 5 years into two segments. The next 2 years where I think the Cubs window could be open wider if they play this offseason correctly. And then after that, I think you're right, because the Sox over the next 5 years could be more consistent in terms of being contending. But the Cubs still, the next 2 years, they've got to look at that as an opportunity they have to almost seize.
Yeah, I mean, they underachieved this year. I mean, obviously that finish was disastrous, and they are a better team than that. They've shown that in previous seasons. The core is still very good. They're not losing a ton in free agency. Hamels is one they are losing. They do have to do some buying and some figuring. I wouldn't put trades past them. Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have been really spectacular on trades. Free agency has been more hit and miss for them and probably everybody else, but they were willing to spend during this season to get Kimbrel. Obviously, that didn't work out, but it looks like they're going to have to make some key additions to really be a big contender this year, but I think that they will. I think they'll figure it out. And, you know, that division's wide open. Cincinnati looks a little bit better right now. St. Louis is obviously solid. Milwaukee, who knows what they're doing? They basically lost half their team to this point, and that's kind of a depressing start to the winter for people in Milwaukee.
So, John, it was interesting. The Cubs parted ways with Addison Russell, and while doing so, Theo Epstein kind of included a long explanation of the decision not to bring him back, but also the way that they decided to do it and the way that they, you know, the work that he had done on his character and on being a better parent and all the other things that that they had talked about last year. I'm sure you saw that. Were you surprised that it included such a long statement?
No, not really. I mean, I think it was the proper thing to do, assuming it's all accurate, and I have no reason not to think that it was. And obviously, Addison Russell had big problems, got himself into big trouble with some terrible acts, which he has obviously apologized for, but people haven't forgotten them. And now he's a free agent, and Theo Epstein is thinking about the player and giving him credit for turning his life around. And I understand the reason not to tender him a contract. He probably would have gotten close to $5 million based on all of his past acts on the field, whereas now he's basically a utility player for the Cubs. This may actually work out better for him because I think he'd like to try to be a starting shortstop somewhere, and maybe he still can be. But, you know, I think it was a good thing for the Cubs to do. I'm not sure if that was, you know, in negotiation with Scott Boras or what, but I think it was proper, and there's no reason not to believe that Addison Russell has turned his life around. Obviously, we're not going to forget what he had done and what he was punished for, and he certainly deserved that punishment.
You know, John, things have been pretty quiet in terms of speculation around the Cubs this offseason so far and player movement. They've done a lot of things internally. You were among the first to report that Javi Baez and Cubs representatives will meet this weekend in San Diego. Do you get the sense that as they discuss a long-term contract with Javi, that it's either Javi or Chris Bryant? And is there any possibility, do you think, of a long-term agreement with both?
Yeah, I think Chris Bryant is going to be tough. They offered him $200 million, and I don't have all the details or the years, so it's hard to evaluate it. It was probably a couple years ago now, and my understanding is that offer wasn't countered. So I think Bryant is probably in the Mookie Betts category where he has decided that he'd like to be a free agent. Nothing against Chicago, in Betts' case, nothing against Boston, but players like their freedom, and, you know, who knows why he would like to consider other places. So I think a Bryant extension is unlikely. They still have to, someone has to resolve, and actually it's the arbitrator who has to resolve the dispute whether he has 2 years to go or 1 year to go before free agency. The likelihood is that he will have 2 years to go, but there is a grievance, and Bryant has asked that they be a free agent. As we know, the grievance was over the alleged manipulation of the service time back in 2015, so we'll see how that goes. Javier Baez, I think there's a much greater chance of that. I think Gordon Whitmire from the Sun-Times mentioned that early as well. And they will sit down and try to figure something out. Obviously, a terrific all-around player. And, you know, he's really emerged as a star. And that would be terrific for both sides if they could get that one done.
James McCann with the one-year, $5.4 million deal. Does that mean that we're going to see different kind of lineups, different catchers? I mean, will he – you know, we know Grandal will be playing more than just catcher, and – it seems now that maybe you keep Giolito with McCann to begin with, but also you've got the possibility of maybe filling in that DH role, filling in first base, moving Abreu a little bit. You could keep everybody fresher and everybody better for the White Sox.
Yeah, I think it's only a big positive to have two great hitting catchers. There aren't that many great hitting catchers, and I think it's a big advantage to get offense out of that position. And not only do they have one great hitting catcher, in Grandal, who's one of the two or three best hitting catchers in baseball, McCann proved to be a quite an excellent hitter last year as well. If he can carry that on, that would be quite something for the White Sox. But I only look at it as a positive. They have choices there. They could match them up with different pitchers. As you say, Giolito could be with McCann, as Giolito emerged as a star himself last year with McCann. So that could work out. But, you know, being in the American League, there's plenty of at-bats for both guys. And I think it was a terrific signing.
John, it looks like reports say that Anthony Rendon is in with the Rangers, perhaps, talking to them about a free agent contract. What about Gerrit Cole? What about Steven Strasburg?
Yeah, Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg, I believe, are going to meet with teams coming up. I think Ken Rosenthal reported that it might be the next couple days where he's meeting with several teams. He's certainly going to meet with several within a few weeks. Cole and Strasburg are two prime free agents, and I think Texas is going to be on Cole for sure, and maybe even Strasburg. And there's certain teams that are just ready to spend, and certainly the Rangers are one of them. As I said, I kind of think the favorite for Cole, the favorites, co-favorites, I'll say, are the Angels and the Yankees. The Yankees have tried for him twice in the past. No reason to think they won't go big for him again, but the Angels' hometown team certainly needs pitching in the worst way, and I think the Yankees fear that there could be a geographic reason for this signing and think that Cole may end up with the Angels. Strasburg, I think Washington feels more confident about him than Rendon right now, so he built a home in Washington. He once did sign a long-term deal, though he did have the out, which he's taken advantage of, but I think Washington has a good chance to keep Strasburg, but there'll be many, many teams in on both guys. I think Philly obviously needs pitching. We've seen San Diego connected. I wouldn't rule out the Dodgers, obviously Texas, and you never know. I mean, Cole is his timing couldn't be better. I mean, at this point, he looks one of the best free agent pitchers ever. I mean, I guess you could say Sabathia, back with Milwaukee when the Yankees signed him to a then record contract for $161 million. And Greinke coming off that second place finish to Arrieta and the Cy Young, who had opted out and had like a 1.6 ERA for the year. I mean, Cole is right there with him with 326 strikeouts. I mean, he is arguably the best pitcher in the game. And I thought he should have won the Cy Young. I didn't have that vote, but both guys will sign huge contracts. No surprise there. I think Cole's going to take a bit longer, though. This is looking to be a record contract.
Mike Moustakas going to the Reds. Does that put them in, where does that put them in the division? Are they the favorites suddenly?
Yeah, I think they look pretty good. I mean, they tried last year. Did some signings. Their starting pitching turned out very good. The pitching coach did a great job. Sonny Gray got turned around, and this rotation was among the better ones in baseball last year. Their hitting was an issue, so this addresses that. Moustakas helped himself by showing his versatility, that he can play the middle infield, particularly second base while in Milwaukee. He was a great high school shortstop, a record-setting high school shortstop, and doesn't look like a second baseman, but he certainly played the part and played it well, and good for him. This is his third time at the free agency, and it worked out fantastically for him. I think the Reds are a contender. I wouldn't declare them the best team in the division yet, but they're certainly an interesting team.
John, you're the best. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you later.
That's John Heyman, MLB Network, and, of course, Radio.com Sports, and a regular with us. I don't know, though. I mean, that's a very interesting question that was asked on the MLB Network, and I was very surprised that Ken Rosenthal and John and who else was on the panel? There was another guy on the panel. They all agreed that the Sox.
Jose Altuve.
It was Altuve.
Over the next 5 years, they thought the Sox' future was brighter than the Cubs.
Yeah.
And they would rather have the White Sox next 5 years than the Cubs next 5 years. Wow. I mean, because that's saying a lot. And that does that make
aren't
you.
Aren't all those Cubs guys in their prime, though? Aren't all those guys? I mean, maybe they haven't.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Does it evolve the way you thought?
Within you, the Sox fan, does it create a sense of confidence or anxiety?
Yeah, exactly. 312-644-6767. We'll discuss next. Molly and Haw on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.